everyone, and welcome back to Rice and Shine, a show looking at life through the perspective of three Asian American teens living in the Pacific Northwest. I'm Sophie.
I'm Ava.
And I'm Lauren.
And today we are going to talk about over-consumerism.
It is a big deal, and especially in the U.S. So I wanted to, like there's different areas of overconsumption, but one I want to talk about is food waste. And let me tell you about this one, because this is a known thing in my family that I'm very uptight about buying too many things and wasting food. Because we had this really long unit in French about overconsumption of food and food waste, and how food waste is one of the number one contributors to global warming, and how, you know, we throw out so much food and so much can be saved, and how there's this culture of conserving food in France and specific ways that they handle that. But how in France there's this really big culture around being anti-food waste and just anti-waste in general, and specific ways that combat that. So that's something that kind of really opened my eyes, and I was able to see how much we waste in the U.S. and in my home that I've gotten really into.
I think that's also similar to like Asian like countries, mm-hmm. especially I know like China, like in my household, we were always taught growing up to never waste any food, like the kitchen god will get you or something like that.
I've been thinking about it a lot because I'm currently in AP and Bi-Sci, and it's kind of opened my eyes. Like, yeah, I always knew about this sort of stuff, but recently I had to have this, like, I did this lab slash project thing where it was, like, about how much energy you consume or something, and, like, how, like, improper waste disposal, how that, like, increases greenhouse gases and all that stuff. And so I opened my eyes, and now I can see that I probably also waste a lot, and I've been trying to, like, buy less stuff, and this is something my family really likes. Like, my dad doesn't like buying plastic stuff, and he's, like, he always makes a big deal about it, and I never knew why, but I think I get it now. Like, it's just, I'm trying to be less wasteful, and also with food, too, but I feel like with food, it's also a little different, just because that's compostable, so like obviously I'm not gonna like eat the rind of my orange or whatever, but I get this like the same idea, like you should finish everything on your plate and like don't leave food out because then it'll get bad and then you can't eat it and blah 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 blah.
Yeah, I think my main thing with this that I talk a lot about in my family that they're kind of sick of is only going to the store when you really need to and only buying the things you really need to. And I think that's just kind of a common, like, not only with food waste, but with regular items, too, like people who are cereal shoppers, and just how we're buying all these things that we don't really need, and how that's just, like, the American culture is consumerism.
I agree, but I also feel like this is really prevalent in, like, Asian media, and I have a couple examples. One, there's always these, like, videos on TikTok where it's some lady, and she is supposedly, like, her husband has been away for a month, so she ordered, like, 100 packages that are just waiting at her front door, and then it cuts to a shot of her husband in the parking lot, and she's like, oh my gosh! And so all in this one video, she unboxes everything and, like, shows its purpose. Like it'll be stuff like a mop or, like, a toothbrush holder and, like, a toothpaste dispenser and, like, random stuff that seems really handy, but then, like, you think about it, and you're like, I don't really need that. Like, this is stuff I can do with what I already have. But it's, like, a really popular thing on, like, on TikTok. And I don't know. What's the Chinese TikTok?
Douyin.
Yes, that.
Yeah.
Very popular.
I think just, like, in general, there's been a trend of, like, over-engineering things to be, like, super convenient. And, like, it's just the most basic things. And people are like, you did not need to make this.
Yeah.
Like, this is so unnecessary.
For sure.
And then, like, it prompts people to buy them when, like, really, you were doing fine. Like,
yeah.
Before. Like, you're fine.
This is kind of opening a whole new can of worms, but apps, or not apps, but online shopping sites like Temu.
Oh,
Temu. Oh my gosh.
you know, like those things where it's like shop like a billionaire and it's selling these things for really cheap that are
dirt cheap. I don't know how they sell.
Well, because
like
they're
that.
Made in sweatshops and they're poorly made.
Yeah.
And it kind of gamifies shopping too. Like they have like the spin the wheel thing and everything. Like my grandma was a Temu buyer and this rug with like I think Paris on it, and all of my cousins were really confused and we were like, she doesn't even like Paris, like she would never buy this if it wasn't like the gamified like spin the wheel and get this and this and this, you know.
I have stayed away from Temu and Shein just because I don't know, would you rather buy like one shirt that you really like and you can use for a while, or like 10 different clothing items that are going to disintegrate when you wash them? You know, it seems like a trade-off, and I don't understand how people can just, like, buy from Shein or Temu with, like, a clean conscience, you know? Because it's just, like, you know it's not going to be high quality and, like, it's not made in an ethical way just because the prices are so cheap. But then on the other end, it's, like, the super sustainable brands are always really expensive.
Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of, like, to the point of, like, how, like... Like in Barbie, how they said, like, oh, it's impossible to be a woman. Kind of how impossible it is to live ethically at this point. Because I was watching this video and this girl was like, I'm an environmental scientist and here are the things, here are the brands I never buy from. And it's every brand that's in the mall. There's no escaping it. Like American Eagle, Uniqlo, all these things that I would normally buy from. Turns out they're not sustainable and not good for the earth and all these things. So just really... kind of a difficult thing, and I think you can make your clothes last a long time. I'm not a big shopper. Sometimes I find it overstimulating. Mm-hmm. So, for example, these jeans I'm wearing, I've had them for 5 years. But are you guys big shoppers?
Well, okay. It honestly depends. I don't really like clothes shopping just to clothes shop. Like, I don't like going on, like, a shopping spree. But whenever I go into the mall, I just, like, drift into PacSun. Like, it just, like, pulls me in. And then I'm, like, looking around. And there's always, like, a couple things that I want. But I'm like, I don't need it. So I don't really clothes shop often. I normally buy, like, an item here and there just to, like, update my wardrobe. And, like, the last time I went on a shopping spree, it's just, like, it was, like, fun because I was with my mom and whatever, but, like, I always end up with either a headache, a really bad stomach ache. Like, something always goes wrong that just makes me not want to go on shopping sprees, which is probably for the best.
For me, I have a mix. I've been wearing things that I've had since fourth grade.
Okay.
But also, like, I do kind of like shopping when I'm traveling, especially when it's, like, in a place like in Japan. I went to Uniqlo and things were so cheap there.
Ooh.
So I had to stock up. But like, I don't know, I don't shop for clothing too much. Like stationery and like random knickknacks, that's a different
trinkets?
Topic.
Okay.
Trinkets is a whole different topic. But as far as like clothes go, I'm not too big of a clothes shopper. I get a lot of things like from friends too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is kind of getting into kind of like thrifting culture as well in a way, because like how that's become a thing, and there was this argument of, is this just another element of American overconsumption, and how it's kind of become a trend, and is that taking away these cheap clothes from the people who really need it?
That's a good point, but I feel like, if only the people who really needed the cheap clothes shopped at, you know, like, a Goodwill or something, like, there would still be a ton of stuff left, I feel like, and, I think thrifting is honestly just like a better alternative than buying new clothes. That being said, I really dislike it. Like, it's just not something I can get myself to do because I'm kind of like a germaphobe and I don't know like where all this clothes has been or like if the companies are required to wash them before they put them on the racks and stuff. So it's just, it definitely is like a viable option for most, but in my opinion, like, that's not something I love to do, which is kind of like an ethical dilemma and whatever, but I mean, I guess, see, it's a dilemma. Like, what are we supposed to do?
I've never thrifted personally.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I've never had success thrifting either. Everybody's like, oh, Goodwill's where the heat's at. And then I go and there's no heat.
And but I've also, like, watched videos where people be like, oh, like, you guys are ruining thrifting. Like, everything's yeah. so expensive now. Like, what used to be cheap and, like, good for, like, inaccessible for people who don't have a lot of money is now, like, not mm-hmm. like that because of people who just go in and...
And then that kind of goes back to the whole Shein thing and how that's what people can afford, so that's what they're buying. Yeah. But it's, you know, bad for the environment. And, like, it does this whole, like, spiral. Like, have you guys seen The Good Place?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you guys should watch it. But it's basically about how, you know, this girl dies. And she's like, oh, I'm in heaven. You know, there's a bunch of plot twists, etc. But basically, the judge gets to decide who goes to the good place and who goes to the bad place. And come to find out, there's a huge amount of people who are going to the bad place. And they're like, what's wrong with this? Like, why is this happening? So she comes back down to Earth, of course, and she's like, this is impossible. Like, you try to buy organic tomatoes at this... So, you, like, you know tomatoes have bad pesticides, bad for the environment, so you buy organic tomatoes. You buy those organic tomatoes, turns out they're actually coming from migrant workers who aren't being paid well. You know, just all these things that add up and up and up, and how there's so many bad things that come, like... I'm trying to find a good way to explain this, but... There are so many unintentional negative effects that come just from, like, trying to live as a human. And I think especially in America, where there is this culture of overconsumption, that's a whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, and then another part of this is, like, company PR, where, you know how, like, famous, rich influencers
are... Oh, they'll get a bunch of free stuff.
They get a bunch of free stuff, and I just... There's no way they can use all of that. So, yeah, I see some people being like, oh, yeah, whatever's left over, I donate to a women's shelter and stuff like that. But there's, like, no way everybody is doing all of that, you know? Like, I feel like most people are either just keeping everything or maybe they have to throw stuff away. And, like, my hope is they would just give it away to, like, friends and family. But the thing is, like, companies themselves are kind of fueling a lot of the like negative effects of overconsumption, just because they're sending out like every single shade of, say, like a makeup brand.
Definitely makeup is like the biggest thing. It's crazy. And I think people click on the videos that have like people who have those like racks full of makeup and it's just like, oh, I want to be like that, so let me buy every single shade.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I've watched these videos of this girl and she's like, let's put together this makeup look, and she has like literally like closet drawers full of each product.
She's like, oh, it's my own personal Sephora. Like,
Or like, there's this, like, I saw this video, it was this white lady trying on the darkest shade of contour from Milk Makeup, because, you know, they're known to have, you know, this really dark shade that's great for people with dark skin. And so I was like, okay, yeah, I get you're showing this off, but, like, what's the point? You buy that, you're not going to use it. It's not for your skin tone.
I know. I'm, like, so confused by those videos. Every time I click on them, I'm like, so why are you using that? Like, why was that sent to you?
Yeah, exactly. Like, the part I was talking about, like, yeah, they're obviously, like, testing the darkest shade or the lightest shade. There's, like, those weird videos, and it's like, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you found the whitest concealer, good for you, but now what? But I think it's also odd that companies send every single shade. Like, I saw a video, like, 2 days ago of this brand releasing new, like, tinted sunscreens or something, and they sent, like, every single shade to this one girl, and, like, I understand sending, like, 3 shades, but what is she supposed to do with, like, all the other skin tones that, like, she doesn't have and she's not going to use? Like, it seems really excessive and wasteful, and a lot of people are saying that, like, companies, if they're just going to be sending out this much free stuff, could be, like, rewarding their employees or, like, doing, like, a random giveaways to random customers or something. But instead they're, like, sending tons of PR and, like, sweatsuits and all this, like, branded stuff to influencers. And, you know, there's the brand trip thing, too, like, taking them on super expensive trips. And it's just, like, it makes me not want to buy that brand, because it seems like my money would be going to just, like, giving more free stuff to, like, influencers.
Yeah. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it is a really good marketing scheme.
It is a good marketing, yeah.
So, once again, it's that thing where it's, like, you're trying to make money, you're trying to, you know, do all this. You have this super strong marketing scheme, but it's having all these negative effects with waste and, you know, giving stuff to people who don't need it, like, just all these things.
But I guess I do understand them, like, sending all the shades, because they only sent, like, the shades that match that content creator, then people in the comments would be like, like, where's my shade?
Yeah.
Right? True, so, like, true, I guess true. I kind of see why, but also, like, I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, this is not related to makeup, but when we were discussing this episode idea, I have to hop on this before I forget. There is this thing on, what's Chinese TikTok again?
Douyin.
Douyin. Douyin, where people, like, speed sell items, where they, like, hold up, it could be anything. It could be, like, a jacket. It could be shoes. It could be, like a makeup organizer or something. They hold it up for literally 3 seconds, and then they toss it off the screen because it's already been sold. And it's, like, this super quick pace, not like, kind of auction style, I guess, where it's just, like, you see it for 3 seconds, and it's, like, oh, I have to get it right now, or somebody else is going to buy it.
That's such a good scheme, though.
Right?
Like, it forces people to buy. It's, like, limited edition things.
Yeah, and I found this Yahoo News article on it, and it's saying that the live streamer sold 10 million units in 7 days using her ultra-fast-paced product showcase, according to 8 Days. She reportedly sold over 100 million yuan, 13.7 million in goods in just a week.
Yeah. And this is originally what sparked my idea for this episode, because I didn't even know this existed until I saw, like, a TikTok on it. And it's, like the peak of, like, overconsumption, because it's, like, that feeling where it's, like, oh, like, it's going to go away if I don't buy it right now. And it's, like, the pressure to buy it before somebody else does, and definitely effective, and definitely, like Ava said, it's, like, limited edition. Like, you're never going to see this item again if you don't buy it right now. And normally the prices are, like, really cheap for, like, it looks like a really nice dress or something, and it'll be, like, super cheap. So, of course, people are going to buy it, but, like, that's the problem. It's just, you're, like, giving people, I don't know, it's like tempting people to buy stuff.
Like, which I fall for those. I'm gonna be honest. Yeah. I fall for limited edition.
Ava and I talked about this in our last episode, mm-hmm. how the marketing of cute characters will always get us from the consumer or something.
You know what? That's valid, honestly. Like I get where people are coming from. Like, sometimes I'm like, huh, that looks really useful and it's a good price. But do you really need it? Like, are you just buying it because it's cheap? Or
I'm definitely, like, yesterday night, I, like, had some free time, so I was going through my stuff. Like, I forgot I had that much stuff.
Yeah.
Like, right.
It was a little scary, I'm not gonna lie. But, yeah, like, recently I've been doing this thing where, like, I'll let something sit in, like, the checkout for, like, 3 months and then see if I still want it.
How does your cart not, like,
mine resets.
Yeah, mine resets, too.
I don't know. I have, like, 500 tabs on my Safari.
Oh, so you don't delete the tab. That's how she does it.
Yeah.
There you
go. Don't delete your tabs. But, yeah, like, I think it's a good strategy, though, because either it will sell out by then, or, like, you realize, oh, I don't actually need it. Because sometimes you just, like, go into something and you think, oh, I really want this.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, on second thought, you're like, oh, wait. Like, maybe I don't.
Yeah. No, that's, like, valid. I find myself doing that, too, because, like, now, I kind of, like, when I was younger, I used to want to just, like, buy a bunch of clothes because I wanted to be super stylish. And now I've gotten older and I'm like, I have too much clothes. Like, I actually need to start thinking about the clothes that I want and stuff. So now, like, it's so annoying. I keep seeing TikToks of, like, Old Navy tube tops are back. And I'm like, oh, I want to go so bad. But the reality is it's not summer yet. And, like, it's not hot and things like that. So it's like, I don't need it. But I want it right now. And that's a problem. I mean, I'm falling victim to capitalism.
Yeah. One of me and my friends decided to do, which I welcome you guys to do as well, is Ava won't really work for you, but we decided we're not going to buy any new clothes until we decide where we're going to college. Because of, we don't know what the climate will be.
Oh, valid.
That's of where we're going to live next. Mm. So any prospective college people out there know that you should try that too. I don't want to stock up on all this summer gear and then end up somewhere where it's really cold, or buy a new jacket and then end up somewhere where it's sunny all the time, you know?
Yeah. Like, when I was, like, going clothing shopping, I realized, like, I don't really need too many winter clothes, even though I was going to buy a bunch of, like, long sleeves and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it trimmed down, you know?
Mm-hmm. I like that, honestly. Except, like, the thing is, I have a pretty good idea of, like, which, at least which state I'm going to. or which coast, rather. So, like, is that going to stop me? I don't know, but I've been thinking about, I want, like, another pair of sweatpants, but now that's got me thinking, like, oh, am I going to need them? But, like, everybody needs sweatpants, right? You need sweatpants everywhere, right?
Right.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
We can think that.
Yeah, leave that in your car for 3 months and we'll see.
And another thing I do is just, like, when things are expensive, I put off buying it for as long as possible. So then I really know that, like, it was a purchase that I really needed, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, yesterday I finally placed my order at Ulta because there was this one thing I've been wanting for, like, a month. And I could never bring myself to buy it. And now I did. And it's, like, it feels rewarding because, like, I feel like I restrained myself, you know, until I just couldn't anymore. So
it's the consumerism.
That's yes. The consumerism.
Yeah. Stop.
It's getting
no.
you. It's getting you.
Valid, though. Like, yeah, I have a lot of stuff. And my dad is always like, we have too much stuff.
Oh, I hear that all the time.
Yeah. But, and he's like, we need to stop. We need to get rid of our plastic stuff and, like, all this stuff. And I'm like, no, Dad. Like, I want my stuff. And
like, what plastic stuff?
I don't know. He just says we have too much plastic.
Mm.
I'm like, Dad, I don't know what you mean by that. But, no, I kind of get it when I think about it. Like, ordering something doesn't just mean you're buying that item. Like, it comes
oh,
the with
packaging.
The packaging.
Yeah.
And a lot of times things are packaged in, like, way too much plastic. Like, let's think.
I always, like, cut off the things and, like, recycle. Like, especially with, like, Amazon packages.
Yeah.
You can recycle a lot of it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As long as you cut off the sticker.
Like, Ziploc bags, too.
Yeah.
And you can, like, recycle Ziploc
like,
bags?
Like, we recycle a lot of bags.
Yeah.
Like, bags that things just come in. I don't know. There's some, like, rule. You should look it up. But, like, you can drop it off at, like, Target and they'll recycle it for you.
Yeah, my mom does that. And I didn't know about that until, like, a month ago.
And, like, I recycle my contacts, too, and everything. So.
Ooh.
And then if you cut off the top of your Ziploc bags, one side goes in the recycling and one side goes in the garbage. But I don't remember which is which.
I bet the clasp doesn't go. Or maybe the clasp
right?
goes.
It's confusing.
Okay, somebody look that up.
But, I mean, yeah, kind of on this note, there's many ways to mitigate it, like we're talking about. And, like, one thing I've seen, too, is, like, if you use, like, mascara or, like, brow gel, you can clean out the tube and then donate it to, like, I think it's, like, a butterfly conservatory
what?
Or something.
Oh, so they make their cocoons on
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
That's cool.
Yeah, okay. So there are many things you can kind of look into to mitigate the waste and stuff, but it is definitely an aspect of American culture that is very prominent. And other countries know it, and we don't, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of just embarrassing. Like, I don't know. I love America, don't get me wrong, but there are just, like, a lot of things that happen here that don't happen elsewhere, you know? And maybe it's because, like, do you have something?
No, like, I was just remembering, like, the Stanley Cup. Like, the fact that, like, we always get, like, so hooked on, like, one product or something and go absolutely bonkers for it.
And then it goes out of style.
Yeah, like, it's crazy how, like, we do this. And, like, people will be lined out the door. Like, I've seen videos where it's, like, and then in the comments they'll be, like, Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah. Yeah.
Or, like, one thing also that I learned about in French is... For their Christmas, they don't... Because you know how on Christmas, for those who celebrate in the U.S., you'll get, like, many gifts from many family members, and it's just all the kinds of things. It'll be toys or books or, you know, kitchen supply. Like, it can be literally anything. But in France, you pretty much only get, like, two or three gifts. And it's either going to be a book or it's going to be clothes. Something that's going to, like... be useful.
Mm.
So that was something really interesting to kind of compare with the U.S. Because I think, I don't know if this is like a true stat, but I think I saw it somewhere that the holidays are the time of biggest consumers and biggest waste output.
Well, definitely.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And considering like wrapping paper and stuff, I tend to, okay, my family, we reuse gift bags, like, all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So, like,
oh, yeah, us too.
Yeah, every year I'm always getting some bag that I've seen before. And when I gift stuff to my friends, that's also bags from my closet. But
yeah, me too.
You didn't hear it from me. Mm-hmm. I give away my best bags, though, the cream of the crop. but, yeah, reusing bags. And I don't know, if you have dogs or, you know, pets... You can reuse your, like, plastic bags from, like, Target as, like...
Oh, yeah. We, like, reuse all of those.
Yeah, it's you use so them good. For pet waste.
In history class, like, my history teacher has, like pictures of people's houses with like all their things outside of it. I've seen that. And like it's crazy how the American household, like, they just put all their belongings, like anything they have, outside of their house. And like the Americans have so much more like physical things than any other like picture from like different countries.
Yeah.
Like the American picture was crazy.
I know, and it really makes you think about it.
Really makes you think.
Like, I don't know why that is. Like, maybe it's because...
It's just our culture, I think.
Yeah. That makes sense. Like, I think we definitely have the most, like, influencers here. Like, L.A. is, like, the epicenter of, like, everybody famous ever in America.
Mm.
So, you know, there's that. And also, speaking of college, buying stuff for your college dorm that you don't really need. I've been thinking about this stuff.
I've been thinking of that, too.
Like, because I see people, like, doing their videos, like, here's what you do and don't need for college. Like, you don't need this. I bought this and I've never used it. And that's, like, another part of it. Like, just, like, buying things that you think are going to be useful and then you don't end up, like, using. I don't know. Like, it's hard to not fall victim to that because, like, you don't actually... Well, sometimes you have a hunch. Like, do I really need this? Like, if I see, like, a cute pack of pens, I most likely won't buy it just because I know I don't think I'll end up, like... using all of them and things like that.
Kind of going back to your point about how it's just in the culture, I think that definitely stems from, like, industrialization and everything. Like, my dad and I were talking last night about, or because I was having Ben and Jerry's, of course.
Yum.
And my dad was like, oh, yeah, I think, like, Unilever bought them. And I was like, that, like, reminded me about how basically every brand in America can be traced to 7 parent brands.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're that's just the net of American, like, consumerism and how, and capitalism, and how it's very few companies own many businesses.
Something I was thinking about, back to, like, the food thing we started at the beginning. Like, since I work in a restaurant, like, the amount of food waste I have to scrape into the compost is, like, crazy. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just, like, the fact that, like, the place I work at is full of, like wealthy, like, old elders, wise elders.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe they just, like, can't finish their food or something. But, like, yeah. I feel like most restaurants, like, I see a lot of, like, waitresses, like, carrying full plates of food.
For sure.
Off to the kitchen to throw away.
Yeah. Eyes bigger than your stomach.
For real.
That's
like,
another.
I fall victim to that, too.
For sure.
But, like, I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a certain level of which where you're like, this is outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's another one of my food waste gripes.
I have something for this. There's something called unit bias. And basically in America, we have really large plates and large utensils and large bowls and large servings, therefore. So there's like Americans consume a lot of food. But if you go to other countries, they typically have, like, smaller bowls and smaller plates and smaller utensils.
Mm.
And that means basically that their serving sizes are smaller, so probably producing less waste. And this is something I learned about in psychology. Like, if you have a smaller plate size, but you eat all of it, like, you're more likely, I guess, to be full than if you were to have, like, okay, what am I trying to say?
It tricks your
brain.
No,
basically.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I've seen, like, have you guys ever watched this show called Brain Games?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I had this obsession with the show, but on one of the episodes, they kind of gave this example of, they gave a small plate with spaghetti on it and then a big plate with spaghetti on it. They said, which portion do you think is smaller or larger? And come to find out, they're actually the same portion, just on different size plates, so your brain thinks it's different. So... That's another tip that we can use, maybe.
That's pretty true, though, because, like, I've seen so many videos or, like, forums, and they'll be like, oh, like, why is it so easy to stay, like, thin in countries like Japan like, Asian countries? And that's because, like in America, we eat so much.
Yeah, the serving sizes are huge. And I heard about this, like, it might have been literally today, where my psych teacher was talking about how he lived in England for a year. And he came back and he couldn't finish, like, a full serving of, like, at an American restaurant. Really makes you think.
Yeah. No, I kind of experienced the same thing during COVID because you go back to only eating with your family. And my family, we, like, it's kind of like my dad prides himself on always having, you know, really well-rounded meals, you know, protein, a vegetable, and starch, that whole thing. And how, like, that's all we were eating, just with our family. And then one day I was like, wait, I'm really craving Panda Express. I'll just pick some up. And I got there, and I could not finish half of it even.
Yeah.
Because it was just so much food. And I was like, pre-COVID, I would have been able to just destroy that. But, and I think it really has altered my, like, appetite as well, because I just got so used to eating with my family and eating in our way. To the point where it's, like, a Chipotle burrito or just, like, all these fast food or faster food items where I'd normally be able to eat a lot. And then COVID, just kind of eating with my family, changed my appetite where I won't be able to finish it.
So that's all we have for today on this episode about overconsumption. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you next week.